Consultants are mostly wrong. God is always right. Let's talk about it on Key Life. This is Key Life with Steve Brown, an honest and refreshing look at Bible doctrine as it applies to daily living. If you have a Bible, get it. And here's Steve Brown, the teacher.
Thanks, Mike. Hope you had a great weekend, and I hope your pastor's sermon ministered to you in the way my pastor's sermon ministered to me. If you have your Bible, open it to the Old Testament as we continue with our Old Testament survey. We're up to 1st and 2nd Chronicles. What I'm doing during this survey is I'm giving you some handles on which you can hang the meat of these books. I honestly believe that most Christians don't spend much time in the Old Testament, and we need to do that because God, the God who spoke in the Old Testament, is the same God who spoke in the New Testament. So far as I know, he never changed his mind, and a lot of Christians walk around with only part of the Bible in their back pocket. There is a whole Bible, the whole counsel of God, and that includes the Old Testament. So, for my benefit, and for yours too, we're taking some time in each of the books of the Old Testament. Now, this is going to be a very long study, and so occasionally I'm going to break and do something else, like next week. Now, next week is Easter week, and so during Easter week, it would not be appropriate, it seems to me, to spend a lot of time in the Old Testament. We're going to move into the New Testament. We're going to talk about a dead man who got up and walked, and the great benefits that are given to those who follow that dead man who got up and walked as we talk about Easter. And then after Easter, we'll come back to our study in the Old Testament, and we'll still be in 1st and 2nd Chronicles when that happens. And listen, before we turn to our study, let's go before the throne. Father, we're glad we belong to you most of the time, but sometimes you seem so far away. Sometimes we plead with you and the heavens are silent. Sometimes the circumstances don't seem to be your circumstances. Sometimes it gets dark and we don't know what we're doing. Father, teach us to trust you when you don't speak so loudly, when nothing seems to work, when the sermons don't apply and the scriptures seem dead to our mind. Teach us to walk in the dark and to remember what you taught us in the light. Father, you know everybody who's listening to this broadcast. You know the sleepless nights. You know the broken hearts. You know the shameful sin and the secrets that we dare not share with somebody else. And so we're here, Father. And we're drawn to you out of our weakness and our sinfulness and our rebellion. We're not drawn from our strength. Your power is made perfect in weakness, and you don't break a bruised reed, and you don't snuff out a flickering candle, and so we're here. We're here not because we're good or because we're together, but because we're yours. And Father, we lift our needs before you. Meet us at the point of our needs. Heal and cleanse and change and empower and comfort and guide. Father, teach us to lean on you and to lean on you hard. You're adequate for every need. And then, Father, as we study your word this week on Key Life, we pray for the teacher. They call him Reverend, and he's not. Forgive him his sins. We would see Jesus and him only, and we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, if you have your Bible, and if you're in a place where you can open it to 1st and 2nd Chronicles. Now, that's the book that everybody wants to avoid because everybody thinks it's so boring. It's not. As a matter of fact, this is a great book. When you read 1st and 2nd Kings, that is written to a people who are doing okay, thank you. They've got kings, they've got power, they've got money. As you move into 2nd Chronicles, the writer, probably Ezra, was writing when the people of God were going into exile, and they were down, and they were in the dirt, and it was really hard. And Ezra acts sort of as a pastor, as he writes 1st and 2nd Chronicles. So 1st and 2nd Kings, written when the people were up. 1st and 2nd Chronicles, covering almost the same period, written by the historian who's trying to bolster and comfort the people of God. We spent a significant amount of time talking about the difference between 1st and 2nd Kings First and Second Chronicles. We've seen there are two main themes in these books, First and Second Chronicles. There's the Davidic line. We saw the messianic implications of that, and then we looked at the idea of a theocracy. Then we saw that there's no mention of the northern kingdom. Don't get into that nonsense about the 10 lost tribes. They weren't lost, just messed up. They were not faithful to God. They became mixed with a pagan world. Light became mixed with darkness, and God had no use for those tribes any longer. And so they're only mentioned in passing throughout the book of First and Second Chronicles. And then we looked at the prayer of Jabez in First Chronicles 4, 9 through 10. It's just a wonderful prayer. And we saw that Jabez, that his mother named him the one who caused me pain. And you talk about issues and psychological problems and emotional down, that's it. I mean, at least when my mother called me, she called me Steve. And when I was out playing, she didn't say, "One who caused me pain, come on in, it's time to go to bed." I mean, can you imagine bearing that kind of baggage throughout your entire life? Well, that's what Jabez had to bear. But there's this wonderful prayer. Jabez called on the God of Israel, saying, "Oh, that thou wouldst bless me and enlarge my border, and that thy hand might be with me, and that thou wouldst keep me from harm, or keep from me from doing harm, so that it might not hurt me." And God granted what he asked. What did Jabez do? Jabez determined who he was, not by his weird mother who named him the one who caused me pain. Jabez learned who he was by looking at the God of the universe. We got a lot of letters from a lot of folks, and a lot of you guys are going through a really difficult time. I tell you, sometimes I read letters from some of you who were sexually abused, and I just weep. Sometimes the pain is so bad I have to put the letter down because it's just plain horrible. Some of you have been shamed so often by authority figures in your life. Sometimes you carry baggage you ought not have to carry, not for a child of the King. Let me tell you something. Learn to set your value by the value that God places on you, not what your mother or your father said about you, or your teacher said about you, or what an authority figure said about you. You can't ever please people. Trust me, I have tried. You please some of them some of the time. Some of them you can't please some of the time. You can't please all of them all of the time. And that means people are going to say bad stuff about you. And if you're sensitive, you're going to set your self-image by that. Stop it. You know the story of Muretus, the poor scholar? He had gotten a certain disease and was taken to the hospital of that day. And they put him on a gurney, and two doctors were speaking about Muretus, and they were speaking in Latin so he would not understand. One doctor said to the other, "Should we perform the operation on this poor, worthless creature?" Muretus lifted himself up on his hospital bed, and he said, "Wilt thou call that man worthless for whom Christ died?" Let me tell you something, I'm not that good looking, I don't have that much money, and I say some really dumb things, but I'm something else. I sin sometimes, and I've got wounds that are of my own causing. Sometimes I offend people, but I'm really great. I'll tell you, sometimes people won't speak to me, they get so angry at me, but I am something else. And you know why? Because God sent his son, and wilt thou call that man or that woman worthless for whom Christ died? God doesn't call no junk. You're not junk. And I don't care what anybody's ever told you, you're valuable to the God of the universe. And start thinking that. Do some self-talk. Do some biblical talk. And when you think about yourself and your dysfunctions and your abuse and the bad stuff in your life and how everybody thinks you're ugly and your mother dresses you funny, you remember him and the price that was paid for you. Well, enough on that. That's one of my favorite topics because it's one of my favorite personal problems. First Chronicles 10:13-14, got to move on here as your tour director. So Saul died for his unfaithfulness. He was unfaithful to the Lord in that he did not keep the command of the Lord, and also consulted a medium seeking guidance, and did not seek guidance from the Lord. Therefore the Lord slew him and turned the kingdom over to David, the son of Jesse. Now you need to know that in Chronicles, as opposed to Kings, Saul doesn't have a public relations expert to help him out. If you read the book of Kings, you will find that there are some good things, socially redeeming values, about Saul the king. But when you move into Chronicles, he is dismissed with these verses, and that is it. But at least in Chronicles, when the magnifying glass is placed on Saul, we see what his problem was. What was his problem? Saul went to everybody else except God. He had advisors who were not God's advisors. He even went to a medium. Now, I'm going to talk to you some more about that tomorrow, but for today, let me suggest that consultants are good, but don't put all your eggs in that basket. Your preacher's good, but don't put all your eggs in that basket either. You ought to have brothers and sisters in Christ to stand with you, but don't believe everything they say. Only believe in God, because he's the only one who's always right. You think about that. Amen. Hey, listen, if you're not a part of our Key Life Tape family, I'd like for you to be a part of it. Okay, how it works. Well, you give us a call at 1-800-KEY-LIFE, and you can do that 24 hours a day, or you write Key Life, Post Office Box 5000, Maitland, Florida, 32794, or Key Life Canada, Post Office Box 32150, Cambridge, Ontario, N3H5M3. Or you email us at steve@keylife.org with your regular mailing address and ask to be a part of Key Life Tapes, and we do it for you. And I really, really want you to be a part of this. They're free. Now, these are not the tapes for the broadcast. You have to subscribe to those, and if you ask us, we'll tell you how. These are tapes of my teaching the Bible at Reformed Theological Seminary, at the Lake Barkley Fellowship, the Billy Graham Training Center, a missions conference, a Bible conference. And we send those out to our Key Life Tape family. And then we can study the Bible wherever you have a cassette recorder. So let us know. They're absolutely free, and I really mean that. But if you can help us financially, I sure would appreciate that, too. Let me tell you, this ministry is having an impact on a lot of people, and most people aren't able to help us financially. And we don't have any slush funds. So if you won't help us, or somebody does, then we're going to be in trouble. So think about it, pray about it, and be as generous as you possibly can. You can charge it on a MasterCard, Visa, Discover card included in your envelope. And for any contribution of any size, I'll send you the cassette teaching, What Good Is Guilt Is My Thank You. Gotta go. When you write or call, give us the call letters of this station. And Key Life is a production of Key Life Network.